Are you Christians?
Yes.
You know, okay. Sometimes I just wish y'all had a little less Catholic and a little more Baptist. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love the Catholic Church. I believe in her fully and completely. But sometimes, are you Christians?
Yeah.
All right, there we go. Yeah, there is. Wow, yes. And I heard a word, amen, which you may or may not know means truly it is, or so be it, or some translations say, I believe. So are you Christians?
Amen.
Amen. Do you believe?
Amen. And,
oh, you don't even know what you're believing. Do you believe in God the Father? Boy, this just shows how far we need to go, all right? I'll ask a question. The appropriate response may or may not be amen. Do you believe in God the Father?
Amen.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son?
Amen.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
Do you believe in the power of the gospel? Starting to feel like I might need to transfer to like Georgia or something. Archdiocese of Atlanta. So you believe in God the Father. You believe in God the Son. You believe in God the Holy Spirit. You believe in the power of the gospel. Friends, what then would you say to someone who came to you and had never heard the gospel? What would you say is the central message? What is the central message of the gospel? What if someone said, so what is this gospel? What would you say? Think about it for 10 seconds. All right. Share with someone near you. What do you think the central message of the gospel may be? All right, all right. All right, all right. You guys should be good. My man, Pope Benedict XVI, Papa Ratzinger. His name was Ratzinger before he was Pope. He had this to say. Healing is the central message of the gospel. Healing. How many people said healing in their conversations? The bishops, well, they're right on the money. That's good. What other responses were there? Love? How many people said love? Okay, most people, probably, right? Anybody say anything else that was interesting? Forgiveness, all right, very good.
Conversion,
good. All these things. Yeah, there's no absolutely right answer, but it's interesting, isn't it, that Pope Benedict XVI said healing is the central message of the gospel. Why would he say that? Why would he not say love? Well, let's take a little time out and let's do a little Christian anthropology. So in Genesis 1, you see that the human person is created in the image and likeness of God. And then in 1 John 4, you see that God is love. So we are created in the image and likeness of a God who is love. That means to say that we are created to both receive love and to give love. And that is our natural state. If we were only human, if nothing had entered into us to block that process, we would perfectly receive love, and we would perfectly give love. And that's what it looks like when someone starts to become holy. They receive love, the love of God, the love of others, and then just as quickly they give that love back to God and back to others. But something disrupts that natural state for us. And that, my friends, is why healing is the central message of the gospel. The healing that Jesus Christ brings, the healing that he wants for you and for me, is what makes it possible for us to have anything that obscures or becomes an obstacle to receiving love and to giving love to be removed, restored, reordered. And that is the central message, that Jesus can heal you and heal me. And so every time we have a healing story in the gospel, it shouldn't just be seen in isolation as a great event that happened to someone so long ago, great as it is, but it should be read in terms of the healing that God wants to bring to us, which is far more important than any physical healing that Jesus ever accomplished, and far more difficult. The healing that Jesus wants to accomplish in you and in me is the healing of anything that is an obstacle to receiving and to giving love, namely to say, Jesus wants to heal you and me from our sins. And so it's a great way to reread this gospel, because we're all spiritual lepers. Every one of us sick. Every one of us separated. Every one of us hopeless at a deep and profound level apart from the healing that Jesus brings. So the historical context for the gospel tonight is this. In Jesus' time, there was no disease more feared than leprosy. It disfigured people horribly, still does to this day, still exists in some very poor countries. It disfigured people. Literally, their flesh would rot away. It was contagious. And so lepers were cast out from their community, civically and religiously. They couldn't be with people who were healthy. They couldn't live with them, eat with them. They also, and this is more profound than you and I might realize, they could not worship with their friends and family. They were cast out. They lived apart. And if they ever approached anyone or anyone ever approached them, they were to cry out, unclean, unclean. Think about how awful that existence would be. Unclean, unclean. They were entirely associated with their disease. So the gospel comes along. The story from tonight. This leper, we don't know his backstory. We don't know where he's from. We don't know who he is. He takes a bold step and approaches Jesus. Maybe he was just so desperate that he didn't care that he was breaking the law. That can happen. People can be so desperate. I don't care anymore. This is it. This is the last straw. I have no other hope. But maybe also this. Maybe he recognized in Jesus that there was a space for him. Maybe he knew who Jesus was. Maybe he even knew who Jesus was better than you and I know who Jesus is. And he saw something in him that allowed him and afforded him the courage to step forward. And what an encounter it is. Mark's gospel, the way he tells it, makes me think more and more what a literary genius he is, because he does so much with such few words. But watch what happens. A leper came to Jesus, and kneeling down, begged him, and said, "If you wish, you can make me clean." Three movements, and then a statement. He came to Jesus. Kneeling down, he knelt, and then he begged. What does Jesus do in response? Three movements, and then a statement. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand, touched him, and said, "I do will it. Be made clean." He's moved with compassion, pity, compassion. He stretches out his hand. No one would touch a leper. Jesus stretches out his hand, and he touches him. And then he says, "I do will it be made clean." What an encounter. That is for you and for me tonight. You see, this encounter of healing, this powerful approach to the Lord who approaches the sinner, the sick one, the diseased one, that is what the Christian walk is all about. And the conclusion is powerful. The one who before could only yell out, "Unclean, unclean," now goes and tells everyone that he has been healed. The words, he says, are no longer "unclean, unclean," but "I've been saved. I've been healed. I've been restored." What a message. What a transformation. Well, my friends, that leper is you and me. Absolutely. We all, through our sins, are unclean. But if we have the courage and the wisdom, and maybe even the desperation of the leper in tonight's gospel, we will come to Jesus. And we will kneel before him, kneeling before him who is all-powerful. And then, if we're wise, we'll beg him. And notice, the leper doesn't say, "Do it for me. I deserve this." He says, "If you will it, you can make me clean." You see, he knows Jesus. At some level, somehow, this guy knows it is not his place to tell Jesus what to do. But it is his place to make his desire known. I wonder how often you and I do that. I wonder how often we really come to the Lord in our need. I wonder how often we kneel before him, submitting, helpless, in our brokenness even, and beg him, "Let your will be done." If we do, and we all should, then we'll feel what the Lord gives to this leper. You see, Jesus, he isn't part of your life just in spite of you. He doesn't shake his head in disappointment at the mess that can sometimes enter into your life and mine. Rather, he's drawn to us precisely because of our sins, precisely because of our disease. That's why he wants to be close. We come to him. We kneel before him. We beg him. And Jesus is moved with compassion. And he stretches out his hand and he is not afraid to touch us. And right in the place where we are most broken, where the disease of sin has infected us most completely, where we feel most powerless, where we feel most hopeless, where we feel most left alone and unable to fix ourselves, that is right where Jesus stretches out and touches and says, I will it be made clean. And I don't know what that area is for you tonight. I also don't know what that healing looks like in your heart. Because sometimes Jesus heals in an instant. And sometimes he teaches us over many years to keep bringing our wounds to him so that we can finally realize that he is the one who heals and that we'll need him every day more than we need the next breath that fills our lungs. I don't know what that looks like for you, but I know that we're called to approach. I know that we're called to be like the leper, unafraid of our brokenness, unafraid of our sinfulness. Our confidence in the healing power of Jesus and his love. When Jesus comes, and this is why healing is the central message of the gospel, when he reaches out and touches that leper, it's an icon for what he does for every one of us. He breaks down every barrier between us and his holiness. He knows that his healing is stronger. His love is greater. His grace always abounds more. And so that is why we are people fundamentally full of hope. Friends, do not be afraid of Jesus. Do not even be afraid of your brokenness because of Jesus. Because his love is greater, his healing is stronger. Jesus is the divine physician. He is the one who heals. If we allow him, if we courageously come to him, then we will experience that healing. And then we will go forth, just like the leper in the gospel, and we will tell the world as living witnesses, not as mere observers, but as living witnesses who speak from experience that the central message of the gospel is healing. There is no important message that could be shared, nothing more important than that, not today, not right now. Jesus is a healer. He wants to heal you. And then he wants you to tell the whole world about it.